All right, let's go to 1 Peter in chapter number 5. We got about 22 or 23 minutes to get into this lesson, and we're not going to get very far, but we're about to finish up 1 Peter. And so I have really enjoyed going through this book. If you were with us in the beginning, and I have no idea when we started, what the date was, but it was believing right and then living according to what we believe, and how Peter is trying to get them to believe correctly about who Jesus Christ is. And one of the things that Peter has been teaching them is that the fiery trials that they are experiencing are not strange. That all kinds of people at this time were facing trials, and the trial of your faith is more precious than of gold that perishes. And that's a thing that's important for us to remember. Remember, when your faith is tried, that's a precious gift. Because what you're going to find out is you're going to find out just how much faith you have. You're going to find out your faith is real. You're going to find out that God is able. You find out that God is at work. And that is so precious to us. Because the things of the world can go away. But my faith remains. And the world can take away all kinds of things. But they cannot take away our faith. So when our faith is tried, and we find out that my faith is real, you know, when I think about that, of something being tried, I always think about them pulling out the coin in the old westerns, you know, and they take it and they buy it. You know, they're going to find out if that was a real coin or if that was just, you know, some fake coin. And that's what's going on when your faith is tried. When you're facing trials in life, your faith is being proven. And God knows what kind of faith you have. So it's not your faith is not being proven to Him. He already knows. You're proven to yourself what kind of faith you have. You're proven to yourself, I do have faith. And I will walk with Christ. And I can persevere through. And that's the great thing about these fiery trials. And that's one of the things that Peter is teaching them here. And then we get here to the last couple of times that we've met, we have been talking about Peter's instructions to the elders. And as Peter's instructing the elders, he doesn't stop with instructing the elders. He gets into the instruction for members. If he's instructing those who are leading, he's also instructing those who are following. And you know one thing about being a leader, if you're going to be a good leader, you need good followers. As a matter of fact, a poor leader can be a successful leader when he has good followers to lead. If you have good followers, you don't have to be much of a leader to lead them. And you may be the best leader that ever was, but if you have somebody that's not going to follow, you're not going to go anywhere. And so it's important to have good followers, and that's why Peter instructs these who are the younger here. He's going to speak sort of to the entire assembly, because you have the elders, and you have those who are the leaders in the church, and then you have those who are the younger and those who are being led. And so Peter is outlining for them here the attitudes which should be present in those who are being led. As we have studied, we recognize that these saints that Peter is writing to are facing difficult trials. And because they are facing difficult trials through persecution, they need to be reminded how to persevere when suffering comes. And here's why the followers need to be taught how to follow. Because what happens to an army that if they face an attack and there's a break in the ranks, what happens to that army if there's a break in the ranks? then the army can be defeated. Remember that the enemy is divide and conquer. So if we can divide the army in half, we can conquer you more easily. So if the followers can be divided, if the followers can be defeated, then the enemy is going to get the victory more easily. And so this is why Peter is instructing these who are the followers. He is instructing those who are being led. He wants them to be good followers. This way, when they are following together, the unity of the body of Christ will strengthen all. Like it says, the threefold cord is not quickly broken. Three ropes corded together in unity are stronger than each individual rope. And that's the benefit of being in church. That's the benefit of being in an assembly. Assembled together, we are stronger than we are separate. And so we want to remember that. That's why animals many times travel in packs. What was that? We was watching, Kim's brother loves to watch nature shows, and we was watching some kind of nature show that talked about schools of fish swimming together, and because they swim together in sort of one mass, they look bigger as a mass to the predator than they do individually. And so that's why we want to assemble together, because together we're stronger than we are separate. And that's why people need to assemble together. You don't get that unity together when you're watching virtually or when you're staying at home. You don't get the unity of the body of Christ. And so that's why this is so important. And so Peter's instructing these who are followers. And it begins, verse number 5, likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, listen to this, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. And so, Peter's instructing these who are younger. So we understand that there is an order designed by God. And we talked about that on Sunday night, about establishing that order and how the order that He has set in the church. And so we talked about the leaders in the church on Sunday night. And so we recognize that not everyone is a leader. Not everyone is an elder. Not everyone is a deacon. Not everyone is a teacher. There are different offices. There are different gifts. And some people are put in the church. Their duty is, their God's design for them is to be led. They are, I think Corinthians calls them a weaker vessel. And that we can't despise the weaker vessels. That we want to realize that those weaker vessels are in the church because they are our opportunity to serve. They are our opportunity to treat them correctly. And so we want to realize that there is an order that God has designed in the church. And so Peter is addressing those who are being led. And in that, we all want to understand that it is important to understand the place where we belong. God has ordained some to be leaders, and He has ordained some to be followers. He's ordained some to be in leadership and some to be participators in the ministry. Remember, we are working together, but we want to remember that our working together is to build up the body of Christ for the work of the ministry. We all do the work of the ministry together. But it's important for us to understand who we are and where we are and what we ought to be. Now, this doesn't mean that those who follow, I mean, maybe right now you're a follower and you're not a leader. But just because you're not in a leadership position today doesn't mean that you won't be in a leadership position tomorrow. What I'm trying to get is where we're at right now, we want to serve the Lord in the capacity that we are in at the present time. And so Peter is talking to these who are younger, these who are being led by the elders, and you'll notice, you who are younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Again, God has a design and a plan for every assembly, and we should submit to that. Have you ever been involved in a situation, and I think this happened a lot in the military, a lot in maybe the Second World War, or not Second World War, but the Vietnam War, where you would have these second lieutenants who would come out of West Point, and you know, they were officers, and they had been in college, but they didn't know anything about really fighting a war. They just knew all of the leadership techniques. Have you guys on the job ever been that way? You're the worker down here on the job, and you get a new boss in that knows nothing about what it means to how to really run that job. They just know the book way to run the job. They don't really know how to run the job. But as the worker, you have to submit to the authority of the boss, because he's the boss, and he may not really know what he's doing yet. And so he might make some poor decisions, but you have to submit to that, right? There's times when you might be the most experienced and the most knowledgeable, but you have to submit to the leadership of others. And so Peter is talking to these about submitting to the elders, about submitting to the leadership. And it's important to submit to leadership. And let's remember something. Choosing to submit does not mean inferiority. It means respect for authority. Let's remember that. That's, you know, when it says a wife is to submit to her husband, that does not mean that the wife is inferior to her husband. That means the wife submits to the leadership of the husband. And that's a whole other subject. But submission does not mean inferiority. And I know a lot of times people like to think that if you're submissive, that you are inferior. No, there's equality, even though there's headship. And I don't want to chase that too much, but we want to remember that submission does not mean inferiority. It means, though, that you are submitting to the designed authority. You know, let's take a biblical example. You may be more educated than someone else, but they're the person in authority. You may be more educated in the Scripture than someone else, but they may be the pastor and you are less than them. And so you submit to their leadership. It would be someone like, you got a boy fresh out of college that's coming in out of seminary, and you got a pastor, a lead pastor in a church that's never been trained in seminary. And you got a boy coming out of seminary who's got his MDiv. And you, the pastor, the lead pastor, has no education. But that boy submits to the leadership, the headship of the pastor, even though the boy has more education. Why? Because it's the authority that God has designed. And I thought about this as I was studying this message. There are times when we submit to authority. An example of that is a few nights ago, we was at a high school basketball game up here, and the officials handled a situation incorrectly. There was an intentional foul. And the rule is, when there's an intentional foul, that you clear the lane, you give the person who was fouled two free throws, and then you put the ball in play at the point of interruption. The officials took the ball in point, put it into play at the division line. They handled it wrong. The team should have had the ball underneath their basket instead of half court. I knew they were wrong. But what did I do? I'm on the sideline. I'm not an official of that game. I'm on the sideline. So what do? I sit there and keep my mouth shut. I'm a more senior official than they are. I know they're wrong, but I submit to their authority because they're on the game and I'm not. You see what I'm saying? Submission to authority doesn't mean inferiority. It means you're submitting to authority, and that's God's design. Remember, Jesus Christ didn't think there was anything wrong with being equal with the Father, but what did He do? He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He thought equality was God was not something to be grasped. But he humbled himself and became obedient even unto the death of the cross. So here when Peter is talking to these about submitting to the authority, being submission unto those that are elder, he's not saying you're inferior because we're all one in Christ. He's saying that there is an authority that has been put in place by God and you submit yourself to that authority. And the reason is because submission to the authority is critical for the strength of an organization. In times of battle, it's important to remember who's giving the orders. What happens when a crisis comes? And if you don't know who's giving the orders, have you ever been involved in a situation where there's a crisis and this person's saying do this and that person's saying do this and another person's saying let's do this, and what generally happens when that goes on? Nobody knows what to do and nothing can get accomplished. But when you know who is in control, the one that you're to listen to, there's not many voices and something can be accomplished when you know who the authority is. It's like Paul told the Corinthians when he was talking about tongues, and he said in battle, if the trumpet gives an uncertain sound, then they won't know the moves to make because the trumpet is making an uncertain sound. And so he's talking about the importance of tongues and speaking something that can be understood. But knowing the voice, and knowing the lead voice, and knowing how to follow, Peter is telling them how important that is. So, we need to know, a church needs to know, the voice of the elder, and need to submit to the voice of the elder, because it's necessary to be prepared when the attacks of Satan begins. And as a matter of fact, the attacks of Satan are a part of this destruction. Right? This is going to be where Satan's like a roaring lion seeking who he may devour. And so we need to know how to submit to the authority that is over us. And so Peter is instructing these who are going to face persecution. Listen, understand the importance of submitting to the elders. And that's not a word that we like. People don't like the word submit. They don't like for people to say, well, I don't want anybody to tell me what to do. But this is the design of God. Two quotes about leaders. Number one, leaders must be readers. So important as a leader to be a reader. You need to read all kinds of information if you're going to be a leader. And then, quote number two, leaders must be able to be led. If you're going to be a good leader, you need to know how to follow. You need to know who your authority is. And you need to know how to listen to that authority. And if you expect someone to follow you, you have to be willing to follow your authority. And if you're going to be a good leader, you need to know how to follow. So I want you to think about this. If you want to be a good leader, if you're going to be in a position of authority, if someone watches you rebel against leadership, they will learn to rebel against you when you are in leadership. If someone watches you rebel against leadership, then they're going to rebel against you when you are trying to lead them. And so, if you're going to be a leader, going to be an elder, if you're going to be a person in authority, you need to be a good leader. You know, you wonder sometimes people wonder, well, why are my kids rebelling against me? Maybe because you have shown them how to be a rebel. Maybe you have shown them how to rebel against authority. And so if we want to be good leaders, we need to be good followers. Submit yourself, to subordinate yourself, to place yourself under the authority of. That's what that means. You who are younger, put yourself under the authority of those who are elders. Hold your place there and let's turn to Philippians in chapter number 2. This is the example given by Christ. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Philippians 2, chapter number 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, or as I quoted earlier, thought equality with God was not something to be grasped. Made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Jesus, who was equal with the Father, laid aside his position of equality in order to obtain eternal life for us. Jesus humbled himself. And so, Peter is instructing these of the importance of subordinating themselves, for humbling themselves, and coming underneath the leadership of those who are in authority. You all know it because you have experienced it. What happens when someone, you have a leader in place, someone tries to, what's the word I'm looking for? Overcome their leadership and lead a different way. Even though they're not the leader, they try to be the leader. They subvert the leadership of the one that's in authority. What happens? You got people doing different things at different times and nobody knows what to do. And before long, you got problems. And so it's very important for us as followers of Christ to submit ourselves to whomever is in authority over us. So Peter is instructing these. And he tells them, and I'm going to skim this, and this is where we'll pick up next week. But I want you to notice, yea, all of you be subject to one another. I'm just going to throw a little seed out there. But one of the things that has to happen inside of the church, and one of the things that needs to happen inside of the church, is we need to recognize that we need to be subject to one another inside the church. As members of the church, we are subject to one another. One of the things that we have done in being a member of the church is we have given the other members of the church the right to hold us accountable. It's one of the things that membership in the church is it helps us hold each other accountable. You're giving the other members of the church the right to speak into your life and say, seen you doing this, and you're kind of going the wrong way with that, and you might need to watch in that area of your life. Be subject one to another. You know, I mean, I was listening to a podcast before anybody came in, and it was J. Warner Wallace, and he was talking about how much happier married people are than single people. They have less cortisol in their system, which means they have fewer diseases, and they have lower blood pressure, and because they're happier. And one of the reasons they're happier is because when you're married, you allow that spouse to speak into your life and to hold you accountable. You allow that person to, you know, speak into your life, and you have an accountability partner, and so that makes you stronger than someone who is single. Peter is telling these here the importance of being subject to one another. And maybe we haven't thought about that as much as we should as church members. Maybe we hadn't thought about our responsibility to one another. That we should be holding each other accountable for our walk in Christ. That we should be helping each other grow in the faith. Like I said, you guys hold me accountable. Every Sunday, every Wednesday, you hold me accountable. Because you're going to be able to tell on Sunday whether I have been doing throughout the week what I should be doing. You're going to be able to tell if I've been studying the Scriptures through the week by when I get up here and speak on Sunday morning. Because if I've got nothing to say, and you're just hearing the same thing over and over and over and over, you're going to know that I haven't been in the Word as I should be. So you're holding me accountable. By you sitting in those pews, you're holding me accountable. And you're having an expectation that I've got a word from God for you. That I have met with God this week, and I've prayed, and I've studied the Scripture, and I'm going to share with you, this is what God says. You're holding me accountable. So, Monday night, or Monday morning, or throughout my week, what have I done with my time? I have used my time, not every moment of my time, but a certain amount of my time I have used to prepare to share this with you. So you're holding me accountable by being here. Mom, she's talking to me about, and I'm going to shut up after this, but Mom's talking to me about, you know, the length of services. She goes, you know, I'm not really used to 45 and 50 minute sermons, but she said, you know, the thing about it is, it don't seem like 45 or 50 minutes when you've got something to say. When you're up there saying something, it doesn't seem like 45 or 50 minutes. So people that get up there don't have any point to what they're saying. It just seems like it drags on and on and on. But when you got something to say, so, of course she's my mom, so of course she's going to brag on me. But anyway, you know, you're holding me accountable. And you know what? I ought to be able to hold you guys accountable too. I have the expectation that I know that this week you've been praying for me, that you've prepared to come to the church on Sunday, that you've prepared your heart, that you've been in prayer, and you've been asking God to speak to your heart through the Word, and that you've been preparing by reading yourself. You've been preparing to meet with God, and you have been working to meet with God and developing your relationship with Him. That's an expectation that we ought to have from one another. And we're going to try to make each other stronger so that we can persevere in the faith. So there's an accountability to each other. We can study to one another, and we haven't thought about that much, maybe. A lot of times people just want to be an attender of, you know, just a place. Church is a place that I attend, not a place where I grow and I help others grow. And that's why churches have grown weaker. And we need to realize that the church is about us serving the Lord together and helping each other grow in the most holy faith. And with that, I'll kind of shut up and let's dismiss. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this time of being able to talk about your word and talk about you. And Lord, we are thankful that you are worthy to be followed and that we can worship you. And Lord, thank you for the church that you've given to us where we can grow together and grow stronger. We thank you for your authority that you have placed over us, and I pray that we will submit ourselves to it. Thank you for the hope that we have in Christ Jesus. In His name we pray. Amen.